Good afternoon. You're listening to Gambling with an Edge. Now here are your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guests today are a return visit from Captain Jack Andrews and Rufus Peabody, two sports betting analysts who together are launching a new site called Unabated. We talked about that a lot last week. Today we're mainly talking about other sports analytic subjects. So Captain Jack Andrews and Rufus Peabody, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
It's great to be back here with you again, Bob and Richard. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
As we ended last week's show, Captain Jack was recommending the Risk of Ruin podcast episode, which featured Rufus and an unlikely partnership with guys from Appalachian State. So I found the story fascinating. So, Rufus, can you provide us with a 5 to 8 minute capsule of on that?
Ooh, 5 to 8 minutes. I will try my best. So would you like me to tell the story?
That would be okay. Fine.
Okay, I can do that. So I was not involved with these gentlemen until – so part of the episode is about before they met me, which to me is the most fascinating part. You had three – well, actually, there was one guy originally at Appalachian State who figured out that these online casinos were offering bonuses that were too good to be true. And normally when things seem too good to be true, they probably are. But in this case, that was not the case. This is in the early 2000s, I believe. And you could deposit $1,000, bet through it a certain number of times, and they would match your deposit. And so basically, they were able to deposit – well, they were able to run through and end up basically cashing out like 80 to 95% of their deposit. So it was basically free money. He found via flyers, found two other guys, Zach and Mark, recruited them, and they started this operation where they ended up, I think, at the end, like registering the entire student population of Appalachian State to – in this bonus abuse scheme. And eventually, Boone, North Carolina was included with Iran, China, and other places where people are not eligible for the bonuses at one particular online casino. So that's how they got their start. Eventually they realized that they, you know, I guess looking at these online casinos led them to realize that there are other opportunities out there, besides just bonus abuse. And there were ways, for example, to lose less money by betting on sports rather than playing through on blackjack. If you bet all home underdogs, for example, that's something that used to be quite an inefficiency in the sports betting market. For example, in the 2000, the aughts, I guess the decades referred to as, if you bet every Major League Baseball home underdog, you would have actually turned a small profit. So there are inefficiencies in these markets, and these guys being at Appalachian State followed NASCAR quite closely and realized that there are some big inefficiencies in a smaller market like that. They ended up flying out to Vegas almost every weekend. They were counting cards, doing other sorts of advantage play, as well as sports betting with NASCAR and props in smaller markets. During that time, I was in college, and I worked for after college, I went out to Las Vegas to work for Las Vegas Sports Consultants, a company that no longer exists. It was bought by Cantor Gaming in, I guess, the end of 2008. But it was, at the time, the Nevada's largest and most influential odds-making company. And one of the only ones, one of two, I think. So it was Las Vegas Sports Consultants and Pete Corner. I don't know what his company's name was. He was a former Las Vegas Sports Consultant employee, but I digress. I had written my senior thesis on inefficiencies in the baseball betting market, and I was kind of slowly trying to build a bankroll the hard way, you know, a few hundred dollar bets here, you know, $100 bet there, playing blackjack, spreading from $5 to $30. And I ended up meeting these, running into these guys. This one guy, Mark, actually, was actually, I happened to be behind him in line to bet Super Bowl props for the 2009 Super Bowl between the Steelers and the Cardinals. And he was at the counter for 45 minutes and ordered a Jack and Coke. It was, I was like, who is this guy? And I ended up, striking up a conversation with him, a few months later. And we ended up, I ended up working with these guys and leaving Las Vegas Sports Consultants, and the rest is kind of history. We were, you know, a pretty successful, sports betting syndicate, I guess you'd call us, for a number of years before, and we all are still doing sports betting, but we are, you know, before we eventually went our separate ways. But I have all the respect in the world for those guys. They're well, three of the sharpest guys out there for sure. So yeah, so the episode is kind of the story. It's obviously really, really well produced. John Reeder's fantastic, and hearing Mark and Zach, they were like didn't realize how amazing it was going to be, and they were like, man, we have so many other stories that we should have told. So
well, that's
maybe
good.
You guys
they can
will
save
get some
them
of
for
the
us.
When you have them on.
Yeah, actually, John mentioned a story that you didn't tell on the episode about you were supposed to go work for Cantor after LVSS, and you were supposed to have an interview with that guy, and the guy was late.
Oh, Leah made it. So Cantor bought Las Vegas Sports Consultants, and when eventually, so I put in my 2 weeks notice. I guess this was May 2009. So I'd only been at LVSC for 10 or 11 months. And I quit because I was making more, well, a lot more. I was making $25,000 a year at LVSC, but I loved the job. It was fantastic. But I was, you know, betting for a living with well-capitalized people and having good quantitative models made that a much more lucrative opportunity for me. So when I quit, they actually, Cantor tried to hire me, and they offered to, I think, more than double my salary. I think it was $60,000 a year, which to me was a lot of money at the time. But yes, I went in to interview with Leah Matus and Mike Colbert at the M Resort, and I was told that I needed to wait because Lee was playing slots, and he showed up, you know, 30 minutes later. That was, yeah.
At that time, I was like, maybe it just gives you an idea of the kind of people running these operations.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's got most people in the gambling industry have some gamble in them, I would think. Maybe not playing slot machines at the casino that you're working at, but.
All right, let's move on. Several states have recently opened up sports betting. Near Las Vegas is Arizona. But there are others. In what way should players attack new markets that may or may not, in these ways, may or may not work on longer existing markets?
Well, Bob, Arizona is going to be interesting because of the proximity to Las Vegas. So up until now, we really haven't had a state come online that is a real challenge to how things are done in Nevada. And Nevada's a bit antiquated in how it goes about the sports betting. There's not the breadth of market that there are in other states in terms of the buffet of bets to choose from. Mobile betting in Nevada is a little bit difficult. You have to go sign up in person. You have to fund your account in person, things like that. So Arizona is fully mobile, which means you can drive from Las Vegas through Boulder across the dam and boom, you are able to sign up and fund all of the sports books that they have available in Arizona. And they have all the major ones, all the names you see all over television and the internet. And you can do their sign-up bonuses if you haven't done them in other states. So, you know, you can do and right now with the NFL, these are the best time to do the sign-up bonuses. So you have a $1,000 risk-free bet at certain places, you have $5,000 risk-free bet at other places. And an advantage player can easily attack these promotions. And most of the Advantage players, when they find out about this, they go, well, what's the catch? I mean, you know, there's got to be a catch here. How many times do I have to wager this free money over and over again before they finally let me cash out? Well, in most cases, it's only once. You only need to wager it through once. In many cases, there you can sign up for one book and then sign up for a different book and kind of play those promotions against each other to guarantee a profit, a pretty strong profit. And we actually have an article that is up on our site now about the best way to handle those risk-free bonuses. As a reminder, if you didn't listen last week, we have unabated.com, and under our education tab, there's an article written by a friend of our site, Robert Delafave, about the optimal way to play these risk-free bets. So if you're a Las Vegas listener, you can drive to Arizona. You can park the first possible exit after crossing the border there, and you can sign up for these various sites. You can exploit these bonuses, and then you can turn around and head home in 30 minutes. And honestly, you'll make several thousand dollars pretty much risk-free doing this. And, you know, I there's no such thing as a free lunch, but in this case, yeah, there is.
I have a question for you.
Well, let me ask mine first.
Okay.
Wouldn't you need to drive back to collect the bonus after the games have settled and make some other bets?
Right. Yeah. So in other words, when you have one of these, and the popular one these days is this risk-free. So your first bet, if it loses, you get your money back in the form of more free bets. And the catch with those free bets is you only get the winnings from that bet. You don't get the stake back. And it is explained in our article, but basically the optimal way to play this is, since you're capped at how much you can wager but not capped on how much you can win, is you want to put this bet on something with longer odds. In other words, plus money on the odds. And yes, you will need to, if you lose, you'll need to go back and wager again if you collect, you know, to collect your free bet. If you win, then you're done. You've completed the promotion in probably the most optimal way, in that you won. But yeah, you will need to head back down to Arizona and do your betting there. Now you can do your banking from anywhere. So in other words, if you win, you can cash out while you're in Nevada, and it'll go back to your bank account or your PayPal account or whatever you use to fund it. You may need to do some identification, verification. So in other words, they may need you to send a copy of your ID or a copy of a utility bill to prove your address and things like that. The normal stuff that these online sports books have to do for their KYC/AML. But once you get past that, you can cash out from anywhere.
So my question is, what happens if if you live in Las Vegas, you have a BetMGM account there, or a Caesars/William Hill account, can you still, are you eligible for those promotions?
So your mileage may vary. For BetMGM, they operate in each state as if it's a different market, a different wallet. So your BetMGM Arizona is not tied to your BetMGM Nevada. They're pretty much alone in that. They're the only one you can kind of double dip and do in multiple states. Caesars used to be like that, but this promotion they just ran of this $5,000 free bet was so good, and the Advantage players pounced on it so mercilessly, that they've added a term now that says, you know, if you have an account anywhere else and you've done any kind of other sign-up deal with us anywhere else, you're ineligible for this deal. There were guys that immediately just went on a road trip and stopped in 8 different Caesar states and did this $5,000 promo 8 times over and, you know, cashed out $50,000 or so. Early bird gets the worm. But yeah, Caesars has kind of added a term that, like, if you're promotionally banned in other states, don't even bother signing up with us, things like that. DraftKings and FanDuel, if you've done the sign-up promo elsewhere, you can't do it down in Arizona. But if you don't currently have an account with DraftKings or FanDuel, because they don't operate in Nevada yet, you can go down to Arizona, create an account, get their sign-up deal.
Does that include a DFS account?
No, this is just the sports betting account, which is like a separate wallet.
Does Arizona have any independent books?
They don't, Richard, which is a bit disappointing. They created this law and they awarded 20 licenses, and they've decided that if you're a sports franchise or you operate an arena, you can get a license for sports betting. But they also have 20 tribal casinos brands in Arizona, and they made 20 total. So they said, okay, 10 for sports teams and 10 for tribals. Well, what that resulted in is a lot of tribals got shut out. And while that's, to me, that doesn't seem like too big of an issue, how they chose is they chose all the big names as the cutoff. So in other words, the sports teams got the big money offers from DraftKings and FanDuel and BetMGM, the ones that are blowing through hundreds of millions, whereas the independent guys, the small-time guys that are trying to create an innovative product, they had to go with a tribe, and chances are their tribe got denied because they're just not a big enough name, according to the Arizona Gaming Commission. So it was a bit of an unfair distribution of licenses. They could have done more than 20, I believe, and maybe they'll expand it down the line. Obviously, half the tribes are very upset in Arizona. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, but the 20 names in Arizona are all big names. There's actually one they didn't award yet. One of the sports teams, the Arizona Coyotes, decided not to pick a partner because they don't even know if they're going to be playing in the state in another year. So they're going to get their stadium deal done, and then they're going to pick a sports betting partner.
Now, California is about the same distance away from Las Vegas as Arizona is, in a different direction. California is currently not open to sports betting, but it possibly will be. They got a recall there going on, which is kind of monopolizing their attention. Would you think the same thing is, the same money giveaway is going to be happening then too?
Well, California, to steal a line from Richard, is the gold mine that nobody can figure out a way to get the gold out of. It is a hot mess. It's always been a hot mess for gaming. You have the tribal casinos, of which there are, I think, over 60 different brands of tribal casinos in California. You have the card rooms, which operate their non-slot areas with the poker, but then they sort of have the house-banked games. And the tribals and the card rooms hate each other. And then you have the racetracks, which have been there forever, and they feel they need a stake. And then you have the sports league teams who feel like they should have a stake in all of this. So you have a lot of cooks spoiling the broth in California. So the tribals have said, okay, well, we want sports betting our way. But they know that due to the Indian Gaming Regulation Act of 1982, they can't offer mobile betting. So they only wanted to have sports betting on property. And every Californian would say to that, well, there's no way I'm driving 4 hours to another tribal casino. You know, that you're out of your mind. I don't want to have to drive all over this huge state to get to all the different sports books. So then another option came up where, what if we had all of the tribal gaming and the sports leagues and the horse race tracks were all allowed to have it, and it operated outside the tribal compact, then that wouldn't violate IGRA, and, you know, we could have it that way. But all of this is contingent on the California voters actually approving this, because this is an expansion of gaming which is not covered under their current constitution. So this is all a struggle to produce a referendum that will be on the ballot in 2022, a year from now. And as it currently stands, there might be three different ballot referendums that are – in many ways different from each other, which would be even more confusing to the California voters. And we know from the past that when propositions get put to the California voters, they try to be as confusing as possible to trick people into which one they want to vote for. So if you live in California and you're listening to this, get ready for the next year. You're going to be blasted with all these different options for voting on a gaming expansion in 2022. None of them seem like the perfect solution. The one that seems like the most optimal solution is being pitched as a solution to mental health in California, of all things, because it's saying we're going to give all this money to the homeless that we generate through sports betting. Spoiler alert, sports betting doesn't generate a lot of tax revenue because these companies are allowed to write off their marketing spend, their promotional spend against their profits. And right now, nobody's making profits because they're spending so much on marketing, and that's what it's going to be in California. So this promise of mental health is just a red herring for the voters. This proposal also says that to enter into California, you need to spend $100 million for a license, and you need to be operating in 10 other states. Well, there's only a handful of companies that can afford a $100 million license that also operate in 10 other states, and that's your big ones of DraftKings, FanDuel, BetMGM, and so on. So it's going to be a mess in California for another year. Yes, when they finally introduce gaming, assuming they have a competitive market, yes, there will be all these same deals for California residents, but that won't be until probably NFL kickoff 2023, I think, is when this will all get decided.
And if you've already burned your welcome bonus, that'll only be good for the ones you haven't.
Right. So my recommendation is don't wait for California. Go ahead and go out to these other states where they have these fat bonuses. You know, and if you miss this NFL kickoff window this September when these bonuses are good, they're going to be good again at right before the Super Bowl. That's the other time they want people to sign up. And if you miss that window, they're good again right before March Madness, because that's the other major sporting event that they like to sign people up on. So those are the three main times when you can really pick up on all of these great bonuses that are available to new signups.
All right. Now, the NFL season is barely underway. How is NFL football betting different in 2021 than it was last year and previous years?
I'll give a couple reasons, and then maybe Rufus can chime in. So this, as of like last year, we're very dependent on COVID information. So when players get sidelined with COVID concerns, or they test positive, or they've been in close proximity with someone who has tested positive, it definitely has a ripple effect, not only on their team, but also on how long they're going to be out, if they're vaccinated or not. So keeping up with COVID information is probably the key piece of information that affects lines during this season. In terms of like rule changes in the NFL, there haven't been a lot of rule changes this year. So it's not a year where we have to kind of start to abide by new rules. It's really the COVID information is the main one this year. But you know, there are other things that come about each year. I don't know, Rufus, if you had some in mind that have been affecting NFL betting this year.
There's fans in the stands now. I think that's the big thing. You had a year with relatively little home field advantage. In fact, I think it was less than half a point of home field advantage. So we're back to fans in the stands, and so I think we can expect back to home field advantage being what it had been or close to that.
It was said by one of you last week, I think it was Rufus, that the quarterback is the single most important player. And there are some quarterbacks who have refused to get vaccinated for their own reasons. The Indianapolis Carson Palmer, I think, has refused, and Cam Newton, who's not currently with the team. So would this change the lines or change your willingness to do futures on this team if they had a quarterback who refused to be vaccinated?
That's a really good question, and I think it probably should. I haven't actually incorporated this into my futures betting, but there are different protocols that a non-vaccinated player is subject to, and it's one reason that someone like Cam Newton ended up getting cut by the Patriots, because he had to miss a bunch of practice time, because he was in close proximity with someone. He left the bubble and was in close proximity with someone who had COVID and was not vaccinated, whereas if he was vaccinated, he would have been back much more quickly. So I definitely think it's something to consider. The question is, what probability do you assign to a player entering the COVID protocol? And I think that's something where I think estimates may differ from person to person. And so I'm someone that's very quantitative. I like putting a quantitative framework on it. And so to sort of gauge how much of an effect, I would sort of want to have a general idea. Do I think it's a 1 in 5 chance it happens to this quarterback at some point this season? You know, 1 in 4? If it's something like 5% and he's going to miss 2 games, it's going to have a lot less of an impact than obviously 25%.
Yeah, I would also add that our NFL simulator unabated allows you to put a probability on a quarterback missing, getting injured and missing at least 1 game in any given start. And for somebody like Carson Wentz, you were talking about, you could probably bump that up a little. In fact, there's an article, if you go to our learning tab on the NFL simulator, I wrote about, the effect of quarterback injury on, in the NFL simulator and how to kind of model that out. And, you know, what if, go through those what if scenarios, or what if Mahomes got injured? How would, Kansas City perform going forward? What if Carson Wentz missed more time? How would the Indianapolis Colts perform going forward? So it is something you can kind of play around with on our simulator and find the answers that you seek.
I think one thing, if you do that, be aware that when a quarterback does get injured in a simulation, we sample from a distribution of historical injury lengths. We found that there isn't really anything predictive. You know, one quarterback isn't likely to miss more time than another. That tends to be pretty random. But if you get, you know, if you come down with COVID, you're not going to be out nearly as long as if you tear an ACL. So you could, but knowing that, you might say, well, I think there's a 20%, I think there's a 5% chance this guy gets knocked down for COVID this week. Or on a given future week, I'm actually, but you only lose 2 games due to COVID, whereas maybe the average injury length, I should figure out what that is actually. We have that coded in the simulator, but that would be useful for people to know. So I might put that in the FAQs, but let's say that's 4 games. So, you know, I might cut that number in half essentially. So there's sort of hacky solutions to sort of get what you want.
I meant to ask last week, it seems like in the advantage play community, there is a subset of people who, don't like anybody revealing anything. Have you guys gotten blowback from bettors that don't like the information you're giving away?
Yeah, I definitely have, even in my small circle that I have sort of like an information sharing circle of just 4 or 5 guys that have shared information with over the years. And one of them was very vocal to me that he thought this was an awful idea. You know, and he's, I mean, look, we knew we would get some of it. My answer to that and sort of what we kind of went over last week is, this inefficiencies in these markets, they're going to dry up one way or another. I don't feel like they're drying up fast. So I feel like this is a fine time to go about this project. And I'm not giving away, like I said, I'm not spoon feeding anybody. I'm not just telling them the answers without them having to ask the questions first. I'm just giving them the tools and resources to find those answers themselves. So, I know there's going to be some advantage players that are saying, oh, you know, for years I've made a ton of money just playing alternate lines based on a spreadsheet that I created, and now this is coming up and giving that spreadsheet basically to everyone. Yeah, but you're not going to find a lot of people that use the spreadsheet correctly or that use our tools correctly sometimes. For instance, one of the first feedback I got after we went live with our site was somebody was saying they were using our NBA tool to predict out the WNBA. No, you can't do that. We build our tool about the NBA, and it's specific to the NBA. The WNBA is a different sport. College basketball is a different sport. You can't use our NFL numbers to do NFL props because these are NFL game lines. So trust me, if you're a sharp bettor, you're a sharp bettor because you've moved along this whole evolution. You've kind of mastered this art of sports betting. And a lot of these recreational bettors aren't there yet. So just giving them these tools isn't going to make them on your level. You're still going to have a pretty large advantage over most people. Now, the goal of our site is to help elevate those players along the way, but they need to be willing to walk that path, to do that journey for themselves in order to get to the next level.
I have another question. This one actually comes from my son, so I feel obligated to ask it. He wants to know if there are people who have used the simulators in Madden on Xbox to simulate games.
Yeah, that was a great – this is actually a still a viable angle. If you read the book Sharper by – the guy's name is Poker Joe that wrote Sharper. It's available to go on Amazon. It's an ebook. It's pretty cheap. You can get it. He talks about in one of his chapters about using the Madden simulations to forecast out games. And he did a full study on it and found it's really only viable around the first 4 weeks of the year. And then the market kind of catches up. And I found anecdotally, I haven't kind of proven this out, but that is true. Now I don't have Madden. I think the last one I bought was like 5 years ago. I don't have time to play those games anymore. But you can go online, you can search for the current Madden ratings, and you can find them. And you can use that to sort of project out defensive ability and offensive efficiency. And, yeah, that's viable. Now, will that really profit you a lot? Probably not. The NFL is still a very efficient product, but it has proven to be a viable angle, at least early season.
And it might be useful in augmenting your power ratings in a way. I mean, there's obviously a lot of analytics behind those Madden ratings, so you're just outsourcing an input to your power ratings.
Now, given that you don't want to spoon-feed anybody, are there any ways that casual sports bettors can find plus EV betting into the NFL using the information on your site?
Yes. So I've spoken before about how some sports bettors are qualitative and some sports bettors are quantitative. And a lot of your audience is going to lean towards quantitative just from their background in card counting and other math-based attacks of games. So one thing you can do with our site is you can find what the market consensus price is and use that as your sharp number. So in other words, sportsbooks do range in terms of how their sharpness, basically. For the NFL, Pinnacle Sports offshore in Curacao, they are kind of regarded as one of the sharpest books when it comes to setting a line on the NFL. You could look at their lines and say, okay, if this is the sharp price, if this is the price that the game, basically the true line, let me see if I can find some inefficiencies off of that price. Now, that could be on the game itself. So if a team is -7 at Pinnacle and you go somewhere else and you're able to find -6.5 or +7.5, you know you found an inefficiency. You can use our tools to kind of price out how much of an edge you have with that inefficiency. Or, as kind of explained before, you can use our alternate lines tool to kind of shop the derivative pricing within the market. So while Pinnacle may say the true price of this game is -7, you go to your sports book that's regulated in your state, let's just say it's DraftKings, and they have alternate lines for the game. They have everything from -7 down to -25 and up to maybe +15 on that same team that's -7 at Pinnacle. And of course, they've adjusted the pricing for each of those alternate lines. Well, you can use our tool to see what the accurate pricing would be if the true line is -7, -110, or you can put that in as the VIG free line if you'd like, so -7, +100, and then project out all of these alternate lines and see if you can find an edge. And on our launching live stream, which we did the day after we went live with the site, I think it was September 8th, I think I did that live stream. It's available on my YouTube channel. I did that. I went through and took the true price of something and then started shopping alternate lines and found value. Now, you know nothing about that game. You're just basically saying that if the price should be this, then the alternate price should be that, and this price is better than that, and betting that and figuring out how much your edge is. So, yes, for a bettor that knows nothing about the NFL, you can use that method to find positive EV wagers without having to kind of dive deep into learning the NFL.
Another example that came up that day was using the simulator and finding I don't remember if it was Super Bowl odds or playoff odds, but the Raiders, I guess, were way overpriced, which I really found surprising given that it's now a Vegas home team. I would have thought Vegas people would have been pounding that number, but at the time it was pretty far out of whack.
Yeah, so that was Rufus. We were talking about the simulator during that live stream, and Rufus was talking about some of the bets he had made on exact wins by the Raiders at some various sports books, national regulated sports books. And what we have there is you can run your simulation, and then we'll give you the distribution of wins based on the simulation. And he said there was value in betting them. Rufus, it was more like if they win like 10, 11, or 12 games this year, you found there's value out there in the market?
Yeah. So I was high on the Raiders in general relative to the market, as was – and I was high on the Raiders using the market-based rating system actually too. So, yeah, there was value largely for two reasons. One was that I liked the Raiders. I thought their mean number of wins was higher. But the second was the tail not being priced properly. So – the uncertainty, basically. The market, I guess, is more confident in who the Raiders are, which, I mean, you can make an argument, I guess, given the fact that they have the same coach, the same quarterback, not a ton of changes on that team. But I tend to think that, in general, the level of uncertainty is pretty similar between teams. But if you disagree, that's what makes America great. Differences of opinion, right?
And one caveat is by the time you hear this on our podcast, the Raiders will have played two more games that Rufus currently doesn't know about. And so that may change things. That will change things. I mean, if the Raiders are 0-2, that's going to be a lot different than if they're 2-0 at the end of this, by the time you hear this.
I will say that on our live stream that night, Rufus said he was high on the Saints, high on Jameis Winston and how he's going to perform with the Saints. And we've only seen one game as of this recording, but it was the most talked about game of week one, and that's the 38-3 drubbing that they did of the Packers.
Great. So Rufus is one for one. This is great. All right. So since we're going to take a brief commercial break, and then we got some more questions for Captain Jack Andrews and Rufus Peabody. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning at least 99%. This is more than anyone else has. This month, every Sunday through Saturday, earn 1,200 points on slots, video reels, or video poker, and receive a South Point 400 commemorative bottle of City Lights Shine Moonshine. You keep your points. Players can learn up to 3 bottles a week, and they may select from 6 flavors. Sunday, September 26th is the South Point 400 NASCAR race at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. If you buy your tickets at the casino box office, they are half price if you use your points.
Hey guys, this is Colin from BlackjackApprenticeship.com, and if you're serious about card counting, I'd encourage you to check out the Blackjack Apprenticeship membership. It has the training tools you'll need to beat the game, like our comprehensive video course and our training suite, so you can learn each skill and virtually test yourself before ever stepping foot in a casino. It also includes the tools you'll need to succeed, like our pro betting software, casino database, results tracking software, and access to a community of like-minded advantage players to network with in our members forum and chat room software. You can find out more at blackjackapprenticeship.com.
VideoPoker.com is the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. The game of the week is Ultimate X Wheel Poker, the latest offering in the Ultimate X franchise. In this game, you bet 10 coins per line and are awarded bonuses this hand to be played off next hand. The difference between regular Ultimate X is that instead of 12X being the multiplier you earn for full house, as you do in regular Ultimate X, you spin a wheel. On the wheel are amounts from 250, 500, 1,000, 2000 and several slots giving you big multipliers for the next hand between 14x and 20x. If you earn a multiplier, you get the normal pay for the full house, often 45, times whatever multiplier you already have. If you earn a point bonus, you get the normal pay for full house, times existing multiplier, and then the bonus times existing multiplier. As in regular Ultimate X, induces wild variations. It's a straight flush that triggers the big bonus rather than the full house. It will require a different strategy compared to regular Ultimate X, as the multipliers for a full house are bumped up and others are lowered. In most Ultimate X versions, 5 times play is better than triple play. This is not always the case in this game. We are back talking to Captain Jack and Rufus Peabody, mainly about their new website, Unabated. So who is this site targeted at?
I would say it is targeted at anyone who wants to improve their game as a sports bettor. When we were first creating this site, our target was probably the aspirational sharp. In other words, the person that knows they want to get an edge at sports betting, knows that they don't want to make bad bets, but doesn't exactly know how to go about getting that edge. They want to be sharp. They're aspirational to being a sharp. But I think we've actually expanded that out a bit, because there's something at our site for just about every level of sports bettor. In other words, if you're a recreational bettor, you can come check out our content and you can maybe learn a little bit more, maybe learn about a concept that you hadn't thought of before or a strategy you hadn't thought of. And if you are an aspirational sharp, you can come use our trading tools to find value in the market that maybe you wouldn't have known otherwise about. And then if you're a sharp bettor, if you're a professional sharp bettor, we're shortly going to have an odds screen that we hope is something that you keep up as like your second screen in order to find what the market's doing, where the market's going, how different books are moving. We want to have a real-time feed from a lot of the sharpest books in the industry. And since we're not affiliate-based, we can have that blend of both the ones that are regulated in the U.S. as ones that are regulated outside the United States. We're not taking any money from anybody, so we don't have to abide by these laws where you can't display books that aren't regulated in your state. So that would be for the sharper bettor. So it's really a wide spectrum of bettors could hopefully find value in our site. And then all of our site tools and simulator and things like that, they all kind of blend in with each other. So you find something in the simulator that kind of triggers you to say, oh, okay, well, this team is undervalued. And then you can use our trading tools to find out how much undervalue there is or where you can find value in alternate markets on that team. You use our game odds to find value, and then you can use the trading tools, or you can run a simulator based on what you found, or you can look at the education, which then tells you how to use our tools a little bit better. So we hope to kind of weave it all back together so that we're a site that's constantly a resource for a sports bettor, no matter how sharp of a sports bettor you are.
Now, Jack, you have a lot of videos currently on YouTube. Are you moving them to Unabated? Are they staying on YouTube? Or are they going to be in both places?
So they won't be moving to Unabated. I'll still have all that video content up there. What I want to do, Bob, is I want to redo some of those. So I cringe every time I go back and look at some of my old videos that I created right at the start of the pandemic in 2020. And my production value was low. I only had one single light, and everything in my office looks real dark, and my hair is all over the place because it was, peak pandemic. I think my production values have increased quite a bit since then. So I'd like to start to remake some of those early videos that were live streams that maybe had some of the technical glitches of live streaming, and give the users a more rich explanation for some of those concepts, because some of those concepts are really good and I think apply evergreen. So I plan to put out video content on Unabated. I still plan to put out video content on YouTube, because there's a lot of things that I'll be talking about that don't necessarily need to be under the Unabated umbrella. And also, you know, that'll still hopefully attract more people that will learn about what I have to offer and maybe then look to follow me over to Unabated. So definitely there's going to be more YouTube content coming out, and there's also going to be video content on Unabated.
Unabated seems like a strange word. How did you decide to be – that's the word for us.
So Unabated is a term that used to be very popular by NFL or even football referees. If somebody jumped off sides but they were able to get to the quarterback, they would say this player was unabated to the quarterback, and therefore that's why the play had to be blown dead. Now, the NFL no longer uses that term, unabated. College sports do still. College football uses it as unabated to the quarterback. I was actually watching, I think it was the New England-Miami game in week one, and the Miami player jumped off sides and was unabated to the quarterback, and they blew it dead. And the announcer on the game said, well, he was unimpeded to the quarterback. And I was going, oh, if you just would have said unabated to the quarterback. So how did that name come about? Well, we did what any good company does when they're first founding each other. We got on a Zoom call and we drank some beers, and we just pitched out names all over the place. And we had Rufus, we must have had what, about 100 different names on that spreadsheet?
More than 100.
And so then we tried to narrow it down to like our top five. And Unabated was one that made the initial cut. Unabated, when you're creating a website these days, you want to have something that users can remember, and to have a single word website is kind of key these days of, you know, so you're not like having to spell something at gamblingwithanedge.com, you know, you want to have something that is just a single word to remember. And we felt like it was a fun word. It was a word that was familiar to sports bettors, familiar to sports fans. And it also meant that you're unencumbered, you're free, you're direct, you've cleared all the hurdles. And that's how we want people to be with their sports betting. We want to overcome all of these hurdles of misinformation that they may have elsewhere in the market. And we want to give them a direct path to intelligent betting. And so Unabated seemed like a good word. We came up with that logo, which feels like a growth logo. They're basically a bar chart going upwards, and it makes a U. And it also feels a little bit like a superhero logo, so that you're like, you know, look at me, I'm unabated, and I'm, you know, gonna change the world. You know, a lot of different factors to it, Bob. But overall, it just seemed like this is the one that we can really get behind, and you know, hopefully it sticks with people.
Your logo also looks a bit like a football, while being a U and a bar chart. So
it's like goalposts. Huh?
It's a Rorschach inkblot.
Was that going to be your vote, Rufus?
It's whatever you want it to be.
It's whatever. Rufus, do you want to say what name you really liked?
Oh, there was a few. Was it Edge Wedge?
Well, Edge Wedge was one of our popular ones.
Or Edge.
Wow, that sounds like underwear.
And then Rufus really liked
Edge Hog, but that turns out as like a Black & Decker power tool.
Yeah. And then the other one that Rufus really liked was Gamble Ball, like Money Ball, but Gamble Ball.
Which, you know, the problem is Zach White, who we talked about earlier, former business partner of mine, his Twitter handle is Gamble Balls. It might have been cost of litigation. I don't know.
So, Rufus, you built many of the tools on the site. How much can we trust the data science behind this?
It's a good question. I think the proof is in the pudding, and you should, try it out. And if your first bet you make based on it doesn't win, then you know that I'm full of crap. I'm just kidding.
Good. That's good way to decide.
But I think you're right. There's no – well, I think you should trust our process. But I think, you know, test it out for yourself. See if, you know, you seem to be doing well with those tools. But you're right. There is an element of trust that's required. And I think I would hope that people –
trust that I am putting out authentic information. And these, I mean, these are the same things that I've bet on, bet with, I should say, for a decade. Obviously, they've been updated because there's new data. So, but it's the same principles, and it's worked for me. And so, I hope people are confident that it'll work for them.
When will Las Vegas catch up with other jurisdictions in terms of mobile betting offerings and competition?
I think Arizona, as we mentioned, is going to be a little bit of a kick in the backside for Las Vegas to say, oh, you know what? We need to finally get with the times. We need to have mobile registration. We need to have mobile banking within our apps. Las Vegas and Nevada, you know, it's an old boys club, right? We know this. And Joe Asher, the head of William Hill, for years lobbied so that there had to be in-person registration and banking for the mobile betting app because he owned 119 of the 135 sports books in Nevada. So chances are you were closest to one of his sports books. He wanted to keep you going there. So he's gone at William Hill. Caesars has taken over. They may start to sell some of those sports books off. And there's going to be more competition coming into the Nevada market. They need to change some laws in Nevada. They need to make it so that you don't need to have a brick and mortar casino in order to have a sports book. The trouble is Nevada is a fairly small market. There's only, you know, a couple million people that are available to you in the market. And it's a large state. And it's largely a transient market for operators. You know, they're taking advantage of the weekend crowd that comes in, the tourists. So I think once they see it successful in Arizona, there's going to be a push to make Las Vegas and Nevada get with the times. And then there's probably going to be a little bit of push to like, okay, we need to kind of embrace this mobile betting environment, and we need to bring in some other operators, and we need to up the level of competition within the state. I think that's all going to take place in the next year. I think this is going to be a transformative year for Nevada sports betting.
So William Hill, who, you know, would throw out anyone who knew how to spell their name, since they've been taken over by Caesars, are they letting any of those people back in, or are they still just, they don't want any action really at all?
They are taking action now. I'm not sure if this is a pivot in their strategy, or if this is just because they want to get their name out there and they want it to be all over the place. But look, since the transition to Caesars, I am getting bets down that I've never gotten down before. They're accepting it with no delay. There's not this, you know, the spinning wheel goes around on the screen and then they change the price on you. None of that. It's a snap acceptance of betting. It's been really good since the transition from William Hill to Caesars. I don't know if that'll continue or not, but it's exciting to see.
I mean, Joe Asher isn't out there with the baseball bat kicking out the sharps anymore.
Right. He used to brag that he chases out the sharps with a baseball bat. He was speaking figuratively, but that's a point that gets brought up by a lot of sharp bettors, that he was chasing us out with a baseball bat.
Are they letting any of them back in that had been backed off?
Rufus, do you know? I was never backed off in Nevada. What was that, Rufus?
So I'm in the state of Virginia right at this minute, and I tried to sign up to get that $5,000 risk-free bet, and it said and I've never bet in Virginia before at Caesars William Hill. I had an account in New Jersey. They limited me to like $10 after one day as I was banned in Nevada. And I tried to create an account, and it said, your account is suspended. I didn't even create an account. But so I guess the answer is no in my case, or I probably just need – or I need to talk to support or something. But I was not able to get that $5,000 risk-free bet or any bet there.
All right. This has been fun talking to Captain Jack and Rufus again. We wish them most of luck on the unabated. At the end of our show, we have a recommended. So, Richard, do you have a recommended for our audience today?
Not this week.
All right. My recommendation is the 2003 stage version of the Thornton Wilder classic, Our Town, starring Paul Newman as the stage director, which is the main character. This is a 1938 play that still plays well today. I hadn't watched it for decades, and I really enjoyed seeing it again. I streamed it on Canopy, which is spelled with a K, which is a free streaming service. Most people have it available to them if they have a library card. Rufus, do you have a recommended for our listeners today?
I do. I'm going to recommend a podcast. It's called Side Door. It is brought to you by the Smithsonian. It brings you stories about science, art, history, and where they unexpectedly overlap. It also happens with my sister, who is a wonderful audio producer and host. But it actually won was nominated for a Webby Award, the episode on Apollo 12, which is my favorite episode that I've listened to of it. Everybody here has heard of Apollo 13, but not a lot of people have heard of Apollo 12 and the really close call that it had. And so it was a fascinating listen for me. If you're interested in science and kind of really good storytelling, I really highly recommend Side Door, a podcast from the Smithsonian.
Very good. So thank you again, Captain Jack. Thank you again, Rufus. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.